to Kharkiv, Ukraine, about 25 miles from the Russian border, where airstrikes continued today, hitting three schools and driving residents into shelters. Maria Avdayeva is a security analyst and a resident of Kharkiv. She's been posting dramatic and terrifying images of the destruction of her city on Twitter. She joins us from Kharkiv now. Maria, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So you have been tweeting side-by-side photos from bombing sites in Aleppo, Syria, and sites in Kharkiv to make the point that they look indistinguishable. What are you seeing?
That's terrifying what I see. So in the morning, there is usually some period, 2 to 3 hours, where there are no bombardments and the people go outside to get some food. And I take this moment to go to the downtown to video, to make footage of what Russian aviation strikes and the bombardments had done to my city. It is in ruins, and you can see the buildings that were there during the Nazi occupation, now destroyed by Russian airstrikes. Mm. And the airstrikes are continuing. I can hear the air sirens and people again go to the shelters.
I see. Maria, tell us what buildings and what target, what's being targeted by these Russian airstrikes? What specifically is being hit?
So they mostly now target the residential areas in Kharkiv, districts where there is no military infrastructure or anything, just residential areas, and also the city center. And in the city center, those are buildings of special symbolic importance to Kharkiv. For example, 2 days ago, a main administrative building staying on the central square was hit by the rocket. And I have been there and seen that around that building, probably 500 meters distance, all other buildings have been under this strike because the windows are broken and the cars crashed all over the place. And today I have seen that the Kharkiv City Council building was under airstrike, and also other buildings nearby are in the same condition, with no roofs and no windows and destroyed inside.
Maria, any sense at all? I mean, are these military? Is there any justification in terms of these being military targets? Can you talk a little bit about that? Or do these seem to be purely civilian targets?
Purely civilian. No reason for that at all. The only reason for doing that is terrorizing the city, taking the civilians and the people in Kharkiv as hostages, because what Putin's troops are now doing is they systematically destroying Kharkiv. So the airstrikes continue, so making it impossible for the residents of Kharkiv to leave the city safely, because when you are in your car, you are now a target for an airstrike. And also, there are shortages of food supplies and generally food in the city. No fuel, like long lines in front of the gas station. So that is completely war crime against the civilian population in Ukraine and in Kharkiv.
Right. Do you foresee, Maria, Russian forces taking control of the city? Have Russian forces taken control of the city as they have in Kherson to the south?
They tried to enter the city, so there was an on-ground operation several days ago, but it failed because the city fighted back fiercely. The military, Ukrainian military, and also territorial defense units. I myself have seen the Russian military vehicles destroyed on the streets of Kharkiv. So it failed, and apparently Putin's plan of control over Kharkiv failed, and now Russian troops have got control over small villages and towns in the Kharkiv region, so outside of the city. Mm. And they are now situated in the villages, which makes it impossible for Ukrainian artillery to shoot and to shell them, because they are hiding behind the Ukrainian civilian population. Mm. So what it looks like is that Putin probably will continue to use his troops to terrorize the city and wait until it has less resources, and probably it will be more and more hard for the population to survive here. But the morale of Ukrainian military is really high, and I only hear that with every Ukrainian child killed, the readiness and ability to fight is more and more high because they want to revenge for every Ukrainian killed.
Right. And speaking of that, what do we know about civilian casualties and deaths in Kharkiv, a city with 20 universities, I understand, a large international student population? What do we know about casualties?
Yeah, we don't have yet any exact numbers. The mayor of Kharkiv says it is dozens of people. And today he said the confirmed number of children killed by these strikes was 4. But we don't have exact numbers because the bodies are still buried under the destructed building. So it takes time to get the exact numbers.
Right. So you're saying the bodies are still buried under the building, so it's going to take time to get the exact numbers. I've heard that, I think this came from you, that Russian soldiers in the region are actually asking local people to supply them with food. Is that correct? Is that what you've heard?
Yes, we have seen that, and there are also videos of that. When they see this resistance, they very often put down their weapons because they are not ready to die for Putin and his ideas. So now when they see what is happening and they've been captured on camera, they say that they had resources only for 3 days. So meaning the resources, the food and supplies and fuel supplies. And Russia was planning to end all operation to the 6th of March. That's what the Ukrainian military intelligence says. So now when they are staying in the Ukrainian cities and towns, which they control at the moment, they do not have any supplies from Russian side. It makes it difficult for them to be here. That gives much more chances for Ukraine.
Yeah. Maria, you're calling for a no-fly zone to be immediately imposed. Tell us what that would do for Ukraine and who should impose that no-fly zone.
Yes, that is what Ukrainian civil society is asking the international community to do. It's because we, Ukrainian army and citizens, are holding everything here on the ground. But what Russia now does, it now attacks our innocent cities from the sky, bombing houses and residential areas. So the no-fly zone over all Ukraine or even some area of Ukraine will allow some safe place where people could go. People with children and with elderly will find some safe place. So that means that if the NATO countries agree on that and establish that flight zone, so that will mean that Russia will not be able to make airstrikes and drop bombs in that area, and that area will be an area of safety for Ukrainian people.
Speaking of safety, and finally, Maria, do you feel safe? Are you able to stay safe in Kharkiv right now?
No, I don't think that anyone in Kharkiv can feel safe right now, because any moment and anywhere you can become the target for the airstrike attack, and even in the bomb shelters, it's still, you know, uncomfortable to be and hearing the air sirens going on. And it's already 7 days since the war started and people are exhausted because of that. But still, we are ready to fight, and that's most important. So I see the determination in the eyes of those of people who are in territorial defense, in our military, and they are ready to be here and to protect Ukraine and our citizens. And that's why I am staying here, because I don't want to leave the city. It's Russian soldiers who should go home.
Maria Avdeyeva, she's a security analyst and a resident of Kharkiv, describing some of the destruction that is occurring there right now. Maria, thank you for talking to us. I hope you can stay safe. Good luck to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. It was my pleasure. Thank you.